Good morning. This morning's reading is from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 to 10, which is on page 1173 of the Church Bibles. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ.
Thank you, Paul. I don't know how many people actually read our term card that we produce, or look on our website, or look on the notice board or the news sheet to see what the title is of the sermon that's coming up. And in the preaching team, we suspect that the answer is vanishingly few. And of course, we've got lots of visitors here today who would have no idea at all what you are coming to. So we're starting a new season in the life of the church. We've had Easter, and we've been celebrating Easter in the weeks that followed. And then last week we had our annual meeting, which Church of England churches have to do. And now we start a new season looking forward over the next few weeks of the summer, looking at big questions about life and about faith. And today, perhaps the biggest one, the sort of most basic, why are we here? And I ask that question on three levels. Firstly, why are we here on a sunny Sunday morning, a bank holiday weekend in May? What are we doing here in church? What has brought us here to this point? Secondly, at a slightly deeper level, why is the church here? Why is St. Paul's here? Why do we exist? Why are Christians here in this world? And then thirdly, let's get metaphysical, why are human beings here on this planet? What is the meaning of life? What is the purpose of life? What are we doing in this place? And actually, that is not an obvious question to ask, because the people who are called the new atheists, people like Richard Dawkins and other of his ilk, say, well, it's a stupid question. There is no reason. There is no why question. Why questions are invalid. Richard Dawkins has said, this is one of the hardest lessons for humans to learn. We cannot admit that things might be neither good nor evil, neither cruel nor kind, but simply callous, indifferent to all suffering, lacking all purpose. In other words, don't ask the question. Life has no meaning. Life has no purpose. Don't look for one, because you won't find one. But I happen to think that most people find that rather unsatisfactory. And I go, yeah, but okay, I get your point, but still, why are we here? James Watson, who is one of the people involved in the Human Genome Project, which has made such huge strides as to understanding the nature of life and who we are, says, I don't think we're for anything. We're just products of evolution. You can say, gee, your life must be pretty bleak if you don't think there's a purpose, but I'm anticipating a good lunch. Which is kind of a bit banal, isn't it? You know, all we're here for is to have a good lunch. And so looking at the sort of first level, what are we doing here in church on a sunny bank holiday weekend, May the 5th, 2018? Well, I suspect that friends and relatives of the Azizas are here because they're looking forward to a free lunch. No, I'm sure it's deeper than that, more profound than that. Actually, as the godparents said in their vows, will you do all that you can to help and support Anton and Debbie in bringing up Emily? I think your friends and family are here. I hope they are. I suspect they are. Because they care about you as a family. Because they care about Emily and Maya. And they want to support you. They want to say, we're with you. We're for you. We care about you. We're committed to you. obviously the picture on the screen is not your Thanksgiving because I couldn't take one and upload it before the service. It's another Thanksgiving that we had recently. But I happen to know from our conversations that the reason you're here in St. Paul's today is because you had a good experience coming to Rainbows. And so the church means a lot to you. And although Emily probably doesn't remember it, she crawled around on the floor on the playmats and played with the things here. And Rainbows, for those of you who are guests, visitors and don't know, is the huge mums and toddlers work that we run here at St. Paul's. So on a Monday morning, it's up at the King's Nipton Estate. On a Wednesday morning, it's here in church, and the entire church is taken over with toys and playthings and dressing up gear and ride-ons. And on Friday morning as well, and on Friday afternoon, babies come and crawl over the place. And some weeks, like one that's coming up soon, there's also one on Tuesday morning, Rainbows Extra, and there's also one on Saturday morning for dads do Rainbows. So in any week, we will normally have at least 200 families, and they often have more than one child, coming through the church building. And in some weeks, it's sort of 300 to 400, which is amazing and incredible. And no thanks to me at all, because I don't have anything to do with the running of it, apart from saying, well done, you're doing a great job. But what marks Rainbows out, what makes, I believe, Rainbows so popular is the core values at its heart, which are generosity and excellence. We believe the toys should be in good condition and new, and if they get broken and grubby, they get cleaned or thrown out. We believe in providing real coffee. And when you've paid your entrance fee, you get as much real coffee as you can stand, I think, as you would like, because it does have a buzz to it. And homemade cakes on a regular basis, and keeping the prices down. And we believe that those are important values to say, we want to show generosity, we want to show excellence to those who come through our doors. And the reason for that is because we are those who have, as Christians, received God's generosity and excellence. We simply reflect the values of God, the heart of God. Because we live in a world that reflects God's generosity, God's goodness, and that is excellent, that is glorious, that is beautiful, that is wonderful. And the age-old story from the beginning of Genesis, the story of creation that's there, ends, God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. We live in a beautiful, glorious, diverse world. It's full of amazing complexity, but amazing beauty and glory. God's put us in a wonderful place to live. And if you're unconvinced, just go up the road this afternoon, fight your way through the crowds that will be there, and just see the Isabella Plantation. I have not been so far this year, but now is I. Has anyone been this year? So it's peak time, isn't it? It's glorious, it's colourful, it's rich, it's diverse, it's abundant. God has given us a beautiful, wonderful world. And so as Christians, we simply gather to say thank you, God. We just recognise the amazing goodness, kindness and generosity of God. And we are those who come to say thank you. And so already I've come on to my second point. The church is here because we are people of gratitude who recognize, who've seen that there is a God who's made a beautiful world and a wonderful world and placed us in it. But more than that, he's given us a relationship with him. He's given the opportunity to know him through coming in person in the form of Jesus to show us his love for us. We have today four services in church. And at the 8 o'clock and the 9 o'clock, I was preaching from the set passages which the Church of England decides are the ones to preach on this day. And I was preaching from John 15, and so we looked at these verses together. Jesus says in John 14, 27, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I don't give to you as the world gives. Don't let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." John 15, 9, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love." John 15, 11, "I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete." We're people as Christians who recognize that Jesus comes to bring us peace and love and joy. I never actually noticed, I should have done, shouldn't I, as a vicar, studying the Bible all the time I have, but in those few verses, we've got my peace, my love, my joy. That's Jesus' gift to us. That's God's gift to us. That's what we celebrate as Christians, finding that Jesus gives us his peace, his love, his joy. And in a world where those things are in short supply, if we realize that, we recognize that, we are so blessed, we are so grateful for knowing his peace, his love, his joy. And on Wednesday night, we had a prayer meeting here in church. I don't know if I say the words church prayer meeting, what that conjures up in your mind. But we had a series of stations around the building, and that means tables with stuff on them. On one of the tables were some of the promises of Jesus, as on the screen, and a bowl of chocolate mini eggs. And the idea was you read the promises and you ate a chocolate egg. And you reflected, as you enjoyed the sweetness of that, on the goodness of God and the generosity and the excellence of God who's given us all these wonderful things. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest, says Jesus. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light, and so on. And I say to you again, if I said to you, church prayer meeting, I guess that is not your image that you're expecting, a load of people sitting around eating chocolate mini eggs. And I do recognize that there are, in truth, many churches across the country where perhaps there's not so much joy, there's not so much love, there's not so much peace. We're fallen human beings and we often make a mess of things. But this is what the church is meant to be like. This is what it should be like. I've apologized for the church many times in my ministry. I meet people who tell me a horrendous story of a way that a vicar has behaved. And I go, oh, I'm so sorry. Or the way they've been treated in a church. And I go, oh, I'm so sorry. Because the church is a messy place. But actually, at its best, it's about reflecting God's generosity and excellence. It's supposed to be a group of people who just say, thank you, God, and reflect his heart. And how do I know that's God's heart? And how do I know that's what we're supposed to be doing? Well, because of passages like Ephesians 1 that we just had read to us. Now, I recognize that the Bible uses sort of churchy language. And there's a chap called Eugene Peterson who's translated the Bible into sort of slightly more conventional, chatty, everyday language. And I'll read that reading again in the way that he has put it. How blessed is God. What a blessing he is. He's the father of our master, Jesus Christ, and takes us to the high places of blessing in him. Long before he laid down earth's foundations, he had us in mind, had settled on us as the focus of his love, to be made whole and holy by his love. Long, long ago, he decided to adopt us into his family through Jesus Christ. What pleasure he took in planning this. He wanted us to enter into the celebration of his lavish gift, giving by the hand of his beloved son. Because of the sacrifice of the Messiah, his blood poured out on the altar of the cross, we're a free people, free of penalties and punishments chalked up by all our misdeeds. And not just barely free either, abundantly free. He thought of everything, provided for everything we could possibly need, letting us in on the plans he took such delight in making. He set it all out before us in Christ, a long-range plan in which everything will be brought together and summed up in him, everything in deepest heaven, everything on planet Earth. That's why we're here. That's what the church is for. It's a place that is not for people who think that we're better than others, and actually people who are not better than others. It's a people who know that in our messed up, broken lives, we are loved, we are valued, we are accepted, we are welcomed by God. And thinking of my third metaphysical question, why are we here? It says, and we are part of God's cosmic plan. Long ago, he set out a plan to reconcile all things in Jesus, and he's drawn us into that plan and invited us to be part of that plan. In one of the novels of my Canadian namesake, Douglas Coupland, a novelist, the man who invented the phrase Generation X, one of the characters says this: our curse as humans is that we're trapped in time. Our curse is that we're forced to interpret life as a sequence of events, a story. And when we can't figure out what our particular story is, we feel lost somehow. I suspect a lot of people feel that. Someone else said, if my life was a story, it would go straight to DVD. But that reading says we have a part in the story. And the next two verses go on like this in Ephesians chapter 1. It's in Christ that we find out who we are and what we're living for. Long before we first heard of Christ and got our hopes up, he had his eye on us, had designs on us for glorious living, part of the overall purpose he's working out in everything and everyone. What are we here for? Well, we're part of God's big story. Our past, our present, our future, part of his past, his present, and his future. And that's an amazing, amazing, wonderful truth. So, what are we here for? Well, as Christians, the first reason we're here is to live with God and to live for God, out of gratitude. Not a religion about keeping rules and doing this, not doing that, trying to be a good person and a better person than I was last week, but in a relationship with God, who gave himself for me and came to earth to know me and to love me and to show me his love. And so we sang, and I recognize that for some people it's going to be, whoa, I wouldn't sing that. I surrender all to you. And as a Christian, I can sing that joyfully and happily because I think, well, God, you've been so good to me. You've got such great plans for me. Yes, I surrender all to you because I want to be part of your amazing plan. One that we haven't always been good at. It means that we're called to care for creation, that God's put us in this glorious, wonderful world, so we should be taking care of it and looking after it with him and for him. It means we should be showing generosity and excellence to others. And at St. Paul's, we do that in all sorts of ways, but we've picked up four particular ones that we focus on, and that is, as we mentioned, rainbows, to say, yes, come. Yes, enjoy. We will do our best for you. We'll make you welcome. We'll give you nice coffee and or tea. Don't want to be exclusive. And homemade cakes. And if you're a dad, I should say that one, bacon butties on a Saturday morning. We'll be generous. We'll make it excellent. We'll do the best we can. But also we do the same at our church school next door, in providing the best governors we can, in providing support that we can to the children, in going into read and help them with lessons, in basically caring for them and supporting them and developing that relationship so that it's not only an outstanding school, but it has an outstanding relationship with the church next door and gets outstanding in its inspection by the church authorities, which happens every few years. We want to do that, though, not just for young people and for children, but for the elderly in our society as well, which horrendously is over 55s. I mean, that's not elderly, he said as a 59-year-old. That's still young. But Evergreens welcomes and blesses those from our community as well as those from our church, giving them good speakers. Outstanding tours, such as the forthcoming tour of the early medieval galleries in the British Museum, which I just happened to mention. And as our fourth aim, supporting and blessing, sorry, that was an in-joke for the visitors, that's me, supporting and blessing St. Richard's Church in Ham, which I'm going to as vicar, and which five members of the church are coming with me as a team to support and bring new life and new vitality there, a church that's been through really hard times. And we've said as a PCC, our fourth mission action aim is to support that church in prayer and any practical ways that they ask for help. Generosity and excellence, because God has been so generous to us and is so excellent in all he does. Fourthly, sharing good news. Because as I mentioned earlier, so many people in our society, down the streets where we live, in the places where we work, are desperate for peace and love and joy and just wish that they could find those things in broken, hurting lives. And we are people who've been given that gift, been given peace, given love, given joy. And boy, it would be wrong to keep it to ourselves, wouldn't it? If we know that's what we've received, if we know they can receive it as well. So we are those who say we want to share that good news of peace and love and joy. And particularly, we want to do that to the next generation. So in our kids' groups, which are going on down at the school at the moment and in the two rooms there in the corner, in my school assemblies, we want to teach the message that, do you know what, children, you are precious. Do you not Amelie, Maya, you are special. You are loved. And a theme that I keep returning to again and again, that they can make a difference and that the next generation can change the world. And truly can. And we looked a few weeks back at the life of Stephen Hawking. You know, someone who a lot of people would have written off and said, well, he's just a poor handicapped person. What could he do? He's not. He's a glorious person who can change the world and has done. So we try and share with our children the good news that they are precious and special and loved and can make a difference and change the world. But you know what? So many of us, grown-ups, actually need convincing of that. We need reminding of that. Because we get ground down by life. And we need to hear again and again and again that God believes in us. That God has chosen us. That God has called us. That God has invited us to be part of his plan. We are precious. We are special. We are loved. We can make a difference. By working in partnership with God, we can change the world. And all I say to you this morning is, do you know what? That's why we're here. Do you get that? Do you grasp that? Do you see that? Because once we do, boy, is it exciting. Boy, does it make a difference to how you feel when you get up in the morning. We are precious. We are special. We are loved. When you look in the mirror, can you say that to yourself? Because it's God's truth. It's God's promise. And do you believe, whatever your age, whatever your situation, whatever your background, social class, educational experience, actually, God's chosen each one of us to make a difference. And we can change the world. And when we get together and work together, the possibilities are so much more. Let's pray. Thank you, God, that you have called us, you have shown us your love in Jesus coming into our world, being born as a child, living as a man, dying on a cross, rising from the dead, sending his Holy Spirit. You have changed everything. And we are recipients of that peace, of that joy, of that love. I pray for everyone listening to me this morning, Lord, that you would be speaking to them and telling them that they are precious and special and loved and valued. I pray for those of us who find that really hard to believe, that you'd help the penny to drop and our hearts to be warmed. And for those of us who doubt our usefulness, our purpose, our meaning, I pray, Lord, that you'll help us to see how simply by who we are and what we say, by random acts of kindness to others, by the warmth of our smile and the nature of our words, we can actually change the world. We can make a difference. We can be light to the world, leaven in the lump. Give us, Lord, that vision. Give us that hope. Give us that confidence. To help us to know that our life has meaning and purpose and value in you. Amen.